Big performances, false starts, and a British fight back. All this and so much more in this week's Front Page. Hello, and a very warm welcome to this week's episode of The Front Page. And boy, do we have an episode for you. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio by Matt Rennie to talk all things Cheltenham Festival. Of course, we had some wonderful stories. We had some quite tragic stories, unfortunately, and we had some downright weird ones as well. But I'm going to start, Matt, not with the starts, that is coming up, don't worry, but with your standout performance of the week.
Yeah, thank God we're not starting with the starts to begin with. Standout performance of the week, best one by far, and I'd even argue one of the most unpredictable was Gaelic Warrior, just winning in the manner that he did. We all know he's a high-class horse, but I had it down, I'm sure like many, that he was a bit of a nutcase, really. I mean, a little over 4 or 5 months ago, we saw him running away with Paul Tannen in the John Durkin chase over 2.5 miles. You couldn't have then that he was going to stay three and a quarter miles and win by half the track, essentially. And we know from the past, well, he's a lovable character who has his quirks, but he's really gone from this naughty schoolboy into the model pupil, really. And I mean, what a performance it was. I mean, Racing Post ratings have him just £1 shy of Gallop and Deschamps' wins, well, one of Gallop and Deschamps' wins. That shows you how good this horse is. He's one of the very best chasers, especially we've seen this decade and century, you know. And I just can't believe it. I still can't believe he got beaten in the Fred Winter off 129 all them years ago. But you also forget how he has been around a long, long time now. I think this is the fourth festival he's run at. He missed last year's one. Two-time festival winning an Arkle 2 years ago. It was scarcely believable, the performance he put up. And it was electric and just unthinkable, really. I don't think there's much more you say about it. Just an unbelievable performance.
Yeah, it was. And I have fond memories of chasing Patrick Mullins after that race. He had a ride in the next, trying to get some reaction from him. Of course, he might have been in line to ride Gaelic Warrior had Gallop and Deschamps not come out. But there was absolutely no bittersweet emotion from him. He was just absolutely over the moon. And I said to him, did you see that coming? So he's always threatened that and he's always shown us that at home. But when it all clicked, it was absolutely electric.
Yeah, I guess. And I guess the first instance is we should have really thought about, you know, he could be a Gold Cup winner. He did win the bowl at Aintree over 3 miles last year. But 3 miles at Aintree is completely different to three miles, 2.5 at Cheltenham. Obviously, it's different distances, but different type of track, a flat left of the track at Aintree. It was just, the scary thing is, I think there probably could still be more to come. We've seen Gold Cup winners in the past where they've won the Gold Cup and then it's bottled them out.
It can leave a mark, can't it?
We've seen that with Aplutard. We saw it with I Know the Way You're Thinking to an extent, you know. But you feel Gaelic Warrior's more in this Gallop and Deschamps mode of, he's just a top draw chaser. It's just unbelievable performance. Ice cool ride from Paul Tannen, one of a fair few he gave during the week as well.
Yeah, I did want to get on to him. Another Gold Cup for Paul Tannen.
It's five now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Astonishing. He is the big race jockey of all big race jockeys. And we are looking into that sort of Ruby Walsh comparison territory. There can be no bigger praise than that. Where do you sort of see him relative to the man he replaced?
Yeah, he's definitely bang up there. Luckily for Paul, is he sort of coincided at that time where Willie Mullins has become the superpower. Ruby was doing it. Sort of Willie was one of the most powerful trainers in Ireland, but there were still quite a few other powerhouses on the scene at that time, more on an equal footing. And of course, you had Paul Nicholls' job at the same time when Paul was the powerhouse. His trajectory just keeps skyrocketing, really. I mean, Paul never does anything flash, but he's just the perfect jockey for the big races because he just nails everything you need to do sensibly. We saw that on, well, we'll come on to it, I'm sure, Illete Tom and Lossy Mouth as well. There was nothing like the Paul Carberry brilliance about it, but it was brilliant in its own right because it was so to the play where you can go, yeah, if you're going to win a big race, Paul Tannen will just do it for you.
No, absolutely. And we've been sort of going through the usual Cheltenham Festival wash-up, the usual Gold Cup wash-up, speaking to those beaten connections. I thought Django Bay ran very well. Obviously, there were question marks about the trip coming from the King George, but I thought there's no doubting his stamina now. He was just outclassed on the day, but he's still a young horse. I could see him getting a little bit closer. What did you make of some of the performances of those in behind?
Yeah, Django Bay, very, very good. As you say, I'm, it could be a bit closer next year. I mean, we've got to see basically how next season, how if this has left a massive mark on them or not.
Yeah, it was like a new group of horses, wasn't it? That's why it was so exciting this year, because we didn't know. Yeah. There's this new batch of horses, Galopin Deschamps being out. I know the way you're thinking, questionable, but he finished very powerfully, having jumped a bit suspect.
I mean, Mark Walsh probably gave him the ride of the meeting, and he's been rewarded with a third place finish, so it wasn't a win, but on the first circuit, it looked like it was going to be the I know the way you think we know for the season. He was belting fences. He was detached at the rear of the field. Any other jockey, you go, give up. I'm going to pull up. But Mark just nursed him into contention. And we did see signs of a recovery there. And funnily enough, it might be one of those Gold Cup runs for him that does spark the recovery rather than bottoming him out. So,
well, it wasn't that long ago he fell at the last the Dublin Racing Festival, and you thought, this, you know, where do you go from here? Yeah. And suddenly there's a bit of market support. He works very well at home, and it looked a lot more like his old self. I think he could be really interesting next season.
But yeah, and I can't remember if he's in the National or not, but you'd have thought that if he was to have a crack at the National, it could be this year. Now he's sort of hopefully back on that upward curve. If he's not, then there's plenty still to play for with him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in terms of the other horses, the Jukebox Man obviously emerged that he had a breathing issue.
Yeah, made a little bit of a noise. Yeah. But he was jumping with real verve before then. I mean, I'm going to use a wonderful racing cliche that Ben Pauling was beaten but unbowed after that performance. And he's looking ahead to possibly Punchestown. That could be really exciting. Clanders Obo went over and won it. The Jukebox Man has the right sort of profile. Great story, would you say? Generally, I mean, obviously it wasn't the result we wanted, but all that interest around Harry Redknapp. But
you need, and racing needs that. I mean, you listen to Talk Sport and whatnot. I know Talk Sport, WWE Racing. The mainstream media all latched onto it, and it did help the publicity grow for the race, which we very much needed. But we say it was a shame that he couldn't get any closer. But you said the cliche. You could see him turning up again next year. We are in that new era of horses, as you alluded to, where You might not just see one horse dominating. We could see like Django Bywin and the King George or whatnot. It's a really exciting group of chasers we've got.
No, absolutely. And after the race, the press always gravitate to the winner. There's those of us running around. Harry Redknapp was very popular. Nicky Henderson. Obviously, there was a desire to speak to Connections of Envoy Allen. It was his final start after a magnificent career, coming back to the festival every year. Unfortunately, we had that tragic postscript that he'd unfortunately died following the race, having trotted up okay, cantering back. Just one of those awful stories, and did really take the shine off the whole race and the whole occasion, for me anyway. It was really difficult to speak to those Connections after, for all they spoke fantastically well.
Huge gut punch. Really sickening in terms of, as a sport, especially in today's era, we do have to defend ourselves to, you know, should this 12-year-old have been running or whatnot? And we know he should have been. We know he loved his racing. Connections knew he loved his racing. As we saw in November at Down Royal, when he was winning grade ones as an evergreen late 11-year-old. It's just such a, thankfully, a rare event, but sickening that it happened to happen on the biggest stage, not only, but not just the biggest stage, but for a real, real public horse as well. I mean, it's horrible when it happens to any horse, but Envoy Allen, as you said, he became like one of your old mates. We grow to love him, turning up at eight festivals, you know. Remember parking back to days when he won the Champion Bumper and what was the Ballymore then, I think now the Turners. And this was the next big thing. And then he had his sort of downturn of a little bit when he went to Henry de Bromhead first. And then he roared back, making Down Royal his own. It was just so, incredibly horrible, really. And I have to say, no criticism to Henry de Bromhead or Connections or something for running, because this was a horse that really did loved what he was doing. It's just an awful, awful postscript to the race. I mean, I hope in the future, in the way we can remember him, you know, hopefully Down Royal or something like that, we can run this year's Champion Chase in his memory or something like that. Because he was a top notch horse, and the ones that jumps racing, that makes jumps racing as brilliant as it is, to resonate with the public as he did.
No, absolutely. Very talented, very consistent, coming back to the festival. Does lead me on to Lossy Mouth, another horse who's been able to come back year after year. This time running in, to my mind, the right race, the Champion Hurdle, and go figure, she goes and wins really impressively. What did you make of that whole saga and that performance?
Thank the Lord she finally ran in the Champion Hurdle, because we can now talk about her as a great, as one of the great mares. I mean, I know they were talking about from Cuevega's got 6 wins at the Cheltenham Festival, and she's only 2 shy now, but she's miles better than Cuevega was anyway, because she's gone out there and proved it against, sadly, not Sugino and Constitution Hill, but the best of what the other mares and colts and, well, geldings that was on show. I mean, she absolutely stormed home, really. There's very little you can say, because, again, Paul Tannen was the ultimate professional there. And when she goes to Cheltenham, she is just the ultimate professional as well. I mean, thankfully, it looks like she'll have to defend her crown next year. Now she's absolutely bolted up again at the festival. And it's, you know, it's not a bad place to save the best for yourself, is it, the Cheltenham Festival?
Yeah, and also, do you remember in the build-up to the Cheltenham Festival, a bit around the DRF, there's a question of, well, is Willie Mullins firing quite at the same level that he was last season? Does he have the same firepower? Goes and wins the big 3 races, 7 grade ones, winning the champion chase. Majbra, very disappointing. His jumping let him down again, but you have Ilote Tomps to get the job done anyway. And I thought he was really, really impressive, actually, having gone a little bit under the radar, perhaps.
Absolutely. So, incredibly, it was a weird race, wasn't it? The champion chase. Is there any way you can describe it? I beforehand, not trumpeting or anything like that, but we thought Majbra's going to struggle here, and this is a tighter track. He's got far more of a jumping test, and it just went absolutely to pot. I mean, boy, he's got some engine, Majbra, but the engine's not working with the brain at the moment. Luckily, he's still so young, he's got time to sort this out. Ilete Tom was saying, I was in the camp before, and that he probably doesn't perform at his best at Cheltenham, but he's absolutely proven that wrong. Brilliant ride from Paul Tannen.
Oh, he just cruised into it,
at the
didn't
back.
He?
Yeah, just he basically just let them, the ones in front, sort of ruin their own race in a way. And he'll just go, oh, I'll just handsomely pick up the pieces. But the story of the race probably was Majbra. What to do with him is a big question. I think you've got to go on the new course, and you've got to take a chance on the Ryanair next year now, if you're going to be, you know, wanting to run him at the festival even.
Yeah, I think there's an argument for maybe if he's not going, having to go quite so quickly. For all, he obviously has a massive engine, but whether he's can maybe jump at a slightly more sedate pace, if such a thing exists, yeah, slightly further, just settle a little bit better.
Mark Walsh said it as well in the aftermath. The new course suits him miles better. We know it does anyway, because he won the Triumph Hurdle, but you have got that more galloping track where the jumping test is probably slightly less than what it is on the old course when it's a far tighter course and the emphasis on speed. So it's whether he can get that distance or not, but maybe that'll ping factor file into the Gold Cup next year finally or whatnot. But yeah, odd race, and so too was the stayers hurdle in a way. So.
Yeah, and we won't be able to go over every single performance, but I'm sure in the Racing Post we will be over the coming days. But Home by the Lee, very good. Hartwood, very good. Were there any performances that stood out kind of away from those big races? I thought Kitzbühel was very good under Harry Cobden, who put that Turner's defeat behind him incredibly quickly, actually. That's a sign of a top jockey.
Showed you why JP snapped him up, isn't it? Because as you say, other jockeys might let that affect him. It was such a disaster in the first race, and we'll talk about the starts in a bit, but it was a disaster from tape four, really. But to be able to put that out of your mind for 40 minutes later on the biggest stage for the biggest trainer, for Ireland's biggest trainer, he's going to be over there a lot more next season when riding for JP and riding a lot more for Willie. He was showcasing, you know, here I am, the best of British, and they've been able to snap him up. Brilliant race, sorry, brilliant ride. Brilliant horse, I thought, as well, because I had him all down for speed. I thought Kempton's his track, and he's a speed 3-miler rather than the gutsy real, real stayer. I have my reservations about how Final Demand, he's a good horse, but I think he might be a little bit soft out in front when he hits the front sometimes. Isn't one to get into the greatest of battles. You wouldn't want him on your side of the Battle of Hastings, maybe. But,
well, I don't know. He feels like one who...
He's got loads of class.
When it clicks for him, yeah, he's going to win by half the track. It's just... I can see where you're coming from.
Plenty of time on his side. I thought King Rasko Grey was really, really good in the turners as well. Whatever way they go with him, I don't know. He looked like an absolute stayer to me. And he's obviously in the colours of the Turleys, who were Gallop and Deschamps maybe bowing out for a well-deserved and happy retirement. King Rasko Grey could be another high-class chaser for them. So it was really pressing well. We haven't even touched on Old Park Star. You know, very, very good. Very good horse in a dramatic Supreme Novices hurdle. I think the performance takeout was probably more Sober Glory, giving you a belt to the last fence in the sort of the final furlong drama. But all three of them, including My Daddy Paddy, going over fences next season, it leaves Britain's chases in very much more positive shape than we've seen over the last couple of years anyway.
Those were some of the big performances of the week. Matt, for everybody following along from home, is there any dark horses that caught your eye during the festival?
Yeah, absolutely so. Being biased and being from the north, there was one, might be a bit more of an obvious dark horse, but I thought Manella Study ran an absolute stormer in the Triumph Hurdle. I honestly thought when the Marin Mania turned for home, that they were just swinging with the race and was going to win. It just didn't. Might not get up the hill at his young age at the moment. Finished a brilliant third. He's got some great targets ahead of him, and it was a great advertisement of what Northern trainers like Adam Nichols, he doesn't have the firepower that Willie Mullins does, can do. And thankfully, this weekend after the Cheltenham Festival, that's done and dusted, the Northern trainers get their moment to shine in the main spotlight as well, with Racing Post Go North series taking us to Musper on Friday, Kelso on Saturday, and Carlisle on Sunday. Some very competitive handicap action with the Go North finals being run. And a lot of them named after some of the great horses in the past, like One Man, Jadami, Brindisi Breeze. So, yeah, it should be a very, very good weekend. And really nice that these trainers in the North, and being from the North, we can showcase what exactly we can do as well.
We will get on to Britain's performance at the festival, but we've touched on the Turners. And this was a race that threw up about five different stories. We were all clamouring around. Obviously, no drama this end. The start sort of did for him, ultimately. We have Max McNeil coming out, talking about the Irish jockeys in particular and about the starts generally, about how they weren't giving every horse a fair chance. I think that's completely right to say. During the start to the Turners, we also had the altercation between Declan Queeley and Nico de Boinville. What were fairly, at times, anodyne, beaten jockey interviews after the race, what did you make of that? How did they run? Turned into a story that rolled on for a couple of days. Declan Queeley suggesting that there were some comments of a racial nature made towards him. Nico de Boinville, the following day, coming out and saying, I categorically deny that. There's an investigation going on that is still going on, despite the fact we had this slightly odd rapprochement in front of the ITV cameras with the pair of them shaking hands and Davy Russell as peacekeeper over the shoulder. It was quite an odd episode. I'm glad that it seems to have been resolved between the two jockeys. We do have the ongoing investigation, which will have to run its course. That's how it goes. What did you make of it? Well, it just came from absolutely nowhere and sort of a heat of the moment thing.
Indeed. But it also felt like, given the absolute farcical nature of the starts, not only this year, but last year, that an incident was going to be a more ugly incident. And people are more built, pent up on these days because it is the Cheltenham Festival. This isn't just your Tauntons or your Plumptons or your Thurlerses or your Clonmels in the week where starts are absolutely fine. This is the Cheltenham Festival, whether we like it or not. This is the Olympics of the sport. This is where people want and feel like they must have winners. So everyone is going to be on edge. And because the starts became so farcical, the edge would increase. And then all of a sudden it leads to an incident which boils over as it looks like it did with Declan Queeley and Nico de Boinville. Obviously, be careful what we're saying because it's an ongoing investigation and right to their sides and everything on that front. It just felt completely, it felt sad in a way that it came to it in terms of that we've known there's been farcical starts at the Cheltenham Festival for a fair while, and it feels like we've just completely sat on our hands with it until we've let it get to this ugly point. And now all of a sudden we're going to have a review for next year. The review should be happening straight away because we've got the Grand National around the corner, and that's normally a cavalry charge. Only difference being there is the start's further away from the stands now that everyone's in a straight line.
I have seen it suggested as well that review might have taken place live.
Yeah.
Given you had the remaining days of the festival, were there tweaks that could be made? You don't want a knee-jerk reaction. You don't want the law of unintended consequences. You slightly tweak something and then suddenly the starts are even more chaotic. But it did feel quite convenient, to me anyway, and this might be a little bit harsh to say, you know, we're going to have this review at the end and then you almost buy yourself a free pass for, well, look, we're looking into it, but if the last 2 days are a shambles, so be it. I'm sure they were talking to the jockeys. I'm sure the starter were tweaking.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any blame for the starter necessarily. I think they're doing a very difficult job well, generally speaking. I just think Cheltenham, those starts round the bend, the fact position is so important, the fact that you're mixing in riders from Ireland, Britain all the time, it got away from them a little bit. I think they just lost the bounce of the ball, is how I kind of view it. But the important thing now, Matt, is solutions.
Yeah, exactly.
What is the solution?
Well, starters, in terms of in generalness, Ireland and England need to be on the same wavelength when it comes to starts in both countries, because there are little nuances, different ways the flagmen and the flag people operate in terms of when they raise their flag and whatnot, in terms of what it means then for the race to go and not and trotting in and that front. So they need to be on a united front on both sides of, you know, both in Ireland and in Britain for that one. I'm a harness racing fan here, and obviously they use a start car there. The difference being is they're trotting at a far more serious pace than we would be into a start here. And we're in a world full of technology. We can have, as Ruby Walsh said, we can absolutely have a rolling tape now. And I think if you have that rolling, if you have a rolling tape, whether it be with a start car or two mechanisms, even like two gadgets of robots with a thicker tape across it that then goes upwards or releases across.
I feel a business idea coming up.
I know. Yeah. Get me in. It'll be on Amazon before
Dragon's
you know it. Yeah, exactly. That's the one. I was trying to think of what the show was. But if you keep it rolling in at the pace they should be going at, horses aren't going to. They probably won't pass the gadgets or the gizmos or the little car. The starts need to be sorted out, but that might take a significant bit of reconfiguration as well.
It takes time, and they need to review it. I think there's a general acceptance from everybody, probably the starters, jockeys, right the way across the board, that it just wasn't an ideal scenario, because it's punters, you know, biggest week of the year. You have your £5 down on a horse and suddenly you don't even get a run. It's incredibly frustrating, but look, it's a story that will roll on, I'm sure. I hope it's less of a focal point at next year's festival. There were a few little...
It will be good when we see those little robots with the rolling tape going through, you know.
The Rennie robots.
Yeah, that's the one. That's what we'll
trademark.
Call them. But yeah, luckily we've now got a year to sort that out for the festival anyway.
Here's hoping. Mm. Another story outside of the racing, well, adjacent to the racing, was the ground. Willie Mullins coming out with some fairly explosive comments. He had felt he had to pull Fat File out of the Ryanair. He felt the ground was too fast. He said, we would like more soft. It was linked to watering, saying, I'll stop bringing horses of this caliber. We're buying horses of a certain nature. They're not easy to find. They have to be looked after. And if the ground isn't right, we're not coming anymore. A lot was made of it. Understandably, it's Willie Mullins. It was a talking point. What did you make of it, apart from enormous sympathy, I'd imagine, for anyone who decides to be a clerk of the course?
Oh, that is the number one. I was taken aback by the comments by Willie and JP McManus as well. As a clerk, you're just in between a rock and a hard place no matter what happens, aren't you, really? We've had, this winter, especially since December, January, February, well, I'm in Yorkshire, I can't remember a day where it hasn't rained, and I'm sure it's the same across most parts of Britain. So you're playing a fine balance in that then. As we saw on the Thursday night, there was quite a significant amount of rain overnight at Cheltenham.
I got caught in it, yes.
Exactly that, I'm sure.
I can vouch for that. There was a lot of rain.
I'm sure many people can. So if he'd watered on top of that, we could have been looking at heavy going for a Gold Cup all of a sudden, and then you've got horses not running in it because it's heavy ground, because I'm sure the water table and the levels of water underneath Cheltenham, even though it dries incredibly well, given the amount of rain we've had all through the winter, is probably really saturated, and it just takes turns like that. So I'm in disagreement with Willie and JP's comments, really, because also we're at the time, he said, we've had that much rain, we've got to give it some rest by the point. And I know they were talking about it's the festival for winter horses and stuff. Thankfully, we're nearly in spring now. That's the sort of ground you get in the spring. We've had deep winter ground throughout the deepest winter months, December and January. It's just, it was going in on something which I didn't think necessarily was the main issue. It wasn't unsafe ground, and we need to be distinct from the sport about that a bit more. When we say ground's not safe,
don't confuse it as a welfare issue.
It's unsuitable ground. It's not unsafe ground. It's not, as you say, it's not a welfare issue, because as we saw, plenty of horses handled that ground. I just felt poor John Pullen. I thought he did a terrific job all week, to be honest, with the ground in general. So, yeah, it's one of them.
All good fun. There is always something.
I'm sure we won't see Mr. Mullins and JP McManus pulling out their horses at the Cheltenham Festival.
No, and look, William Mullins had a very good week. He pulled Fat File out of the Ryanair, but he still won seven grade ones. it has become a little bit Britain v Ireland v Willie Mullins. It's like a three-way battle at the moment. But I don't know about you, I was very heartened to see Britain finish on 13 winners to Ireland's 15, given in recent years there have been a couple of pastings, to put it mildly. Is that a sign of things to come, do you think, for the British challenge?
More so in the handicaps. And maybe Irish trained runners will feel a little bit more hard done by given their handicap marks now that there might be a bit more of a discrepancy there than when it swung the other way a couple of years ago and their marks were potentially more lenient. We've still got a fair bit to catch up with on terms of top class graded performance. Obviously we had Old Park Star winning and as Johnny's jury as well for Jamie Snowden.
That's got to be encouraging, right? The grade one novice hurdles.
Yeah,
Supreme was the first four home were British, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, they were.
Albert Bartlett won that. The Turners was obviously didn't win the Turners.
Active Innocent was a really good race. Yeah.
Two British horses, two Irish in the first four. These are the novice chasers of the future. You would like to think that is a sign potentially of being more competitive. It's difficult. It's a massive pinch of salt because Willie Mullins still won all of the big races bar the Ryanair, bar the Stayers.
Yeah.
But those performances from young horses competing in those races, I can remember not long ago Ireland having the first, it felt like eight home in the Supreme. Mm. Suddenly, there's a bit more of a balance with those younger top-class horses.
And it was always going to take time. It was always going to take that element of we need to be patient a bit more. We're not going to change it straight away. So, because in Britain, we'd look at it from the British side, oh, the handicaps are sorted out now, but it might take a bit more fine-tuning to make it really even with the Irish horses. That's just subjective, I think, in a way, to be honest here. But as you say, the novices are coming through. In 2 years' time, we could be seeing horses like Old Park Star could be, you look more, even an absolute stayer could be a Gold Cup horse running the Supreme, but then you could have My Daddy Paddy, this is all in 2 years' time, in an open champion chase division and whatnot. So the shoots that were there are still growing, but they've grown far more positive now than they ever have done before.
Yeah, not quite back to dead centre, I wouldn't say, but certainly feels as though it's heading in the right direction. A nice spread of winners across those British yards. And just generally, I was speaking to Ben Pauling about this yesterday, to Jamie Snowden. There was a feel-good factor around the festival, with attendances being up. I think the fact that you could move around freely with your pints, the experience generally got rave reviews, I think. There'll always be a few people who are disappointed, but again, after a slump in attendances, it did feel as though things were moving in a more positive direction.
Yeah, and there were a few instances on social media where the people were making and constructive criticism, and Cheltenham need to rightly look into that because you can never rest on your laurels and stay still. You always need to improve, but the general consensus was it was a far more improved customer product, which can only be a really good thing. Thankfully, the weather helped for most of the days as well. There wasn't a real grim day. Well, the rain came in the evenings at the end of them. But as you say, you were there. I don't know what the feel was. Did it feel different in a way, in terms of positively different?
Yeah, I think so. And I think as well, it didn't feel as though people were quite so crammed in as they have been in previous years. I'm going purely off my little rabbit run from the press room down into the winner's enclosure to get quotes. I was able to do that without wearing too many pints, which is always a positive. It did feel like a good atmosphere. And we didn't maybe have, in terms of the performances, we had some really sensational ones. I think had a John Bomb one perhaps, had the Jukebox Man one, it could have it lifted another level. But still, great results on the track, great performances. I think it was a week that had everything. I know the starts were a frustration. You could audibly hear that on course from the stands every time there was a false start. Frustration there. But generally, from the experience perspective, it feels as though it was going in the right direction with Guy Lavender and his team. And obviously, there'll be more money to put into that now with the deal that's emerged today with the company Levy about basically freeing up or gaining 100 million to invest in Cheltenham Festival, the Derby, Aintree, Racegoer experience. So generally, I would say it was a positive week on that score.
Yep, just need to make sure it's continuing that way now.
Absolutely. And that is all we have time for today, I'm afraid, looking back at the Cheltenham Festival. Thanks again to Matt for joining me on the sofa and giving his insight. Thanks to you at home for watching. Please do tune in again next week. Goodbye.